praise the Lord for his work that he does. And we've been studying the book of Revelation on Sunday morning, and we're in chapter 19. And last week, we just kind of covered that first part, talking about all of those that are in heaven in chapter 19. A lot of people do not understand that there will be different groups in heaven. And that's what we saw there as they have come up. So we had a chart up here. You could see the different groups going to heaven on this on the chart at different times. But on this chapter, we see them all there in heaven. In verse 1, it says, "After these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, 'Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. He hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication. He hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand.' And again they said, 'Alleluia!' And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 living creatures fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, 'Amen, Alleluia!' And a voice came out of the throne saying, 'Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great.' And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, 'Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth.'" We had this last week, studied this last week, and had other references from portions of Scripture in Revelation already. But the emphasis that I feel in my spirit today is just to think how wonderful that's going to be. This is a scene of when all of the people of God come home. We're all going to be there. All, even the Old Testament people that believed in God and trusted God are going to be there in the presence of the Lord. Can you even imagine that? We can't, can we? We can't imagine it. We can think about it in our minds, but it's hard to really imagine what that's going to be like. All the great, innumerable company, when it says great multitude, it means it was innumerable. That was in chapter 7, wasn't it? The overcomers that we read of in this verse 4, the 4 living creatures, the 24 elders and 4 living creatures, we saw them in chapter 4 and 5. And there in chapter 5, we emphasize the fact that they said, "You have redeemed us from all kindreds, nations, and tongues." Because a lot of people do not understand what the 4 living creatures and the 24 elders, the 24 elders, 4 living creatures represent. They think they're some kind of spirits. I was listening on the TV. I don't even like to listen to those guys because a lot of times they just are teaching error. But this man came to this about the 24 elders and the 4 living creatures, and he said, "I don't know what these are. They're some kind of angelic beings." And he was in chapter 4 of Revelation. I said, "Read on over to chapter 5. Of course, he didn't hear me because I was at home and he was in some place. But anyway, but praise the Lord that in chapter 5 it says there, "You have redeemed us out of every kindred, nation, and tongue." And it's an emphasis that I'm placing right now because of a thing we're going to go into next. Now, in verse 5, the Lord speaks a voice, and it could be even the living creatures and the 24 elders are saying this. "Praise our God, all ye his servants, and you that fear him, both small and great." Now, in our spiritual life here on the earth, we want to be the servants of the Lord. But when we get to heaven, I hope that all of us have a better aim than just being a servant. Because in the book of Revelation, there's going to be a bride of Christ, which you're going to read about it. And this group is made up of all of those believers who really have dedicated their life to Christ and followed Christ from way back in the early times in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, different ones that sought after God and were waiting and ready for Jesus to come, clear to this present day that we live in, we have the privilege to be in that group, of that company of group that will reign with Christ. And so this voice comes out of the throne and says, praise our God, all ye his servants. If we look back to chapter 7, we would see that what was called the great company that was innumerable, they are called the servants of the Lord. And sad to tell you this, but the word servant doesn't mean that they're getting paid for it. Now, it's actually the word slave. And so there will be Christians in heaven who have not fully walked with God, that God is going to bring them out, but it'll be during the first part of the tribulation. And most of us which have heard this teaching, it's not new to us. So anyway, if you have any questions, you can ask after the meeting. I'd be glad to talk to you. And so in verse 6, he heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude. That's found in chapter 7, verse 9. And then verses 14 through 17, and you can see there that it's called a great company. So now we've seen two groups of people. We've seen these 24 elders and the four living creatures. Now we're seeing the great multitude. See, because this is after the tribulation is about to end. This is after that time. And the Lord is going to have all of his people that are in this church age will be there now. Chapter 14, the 144,000 Jews that were so faithful to God during the tribulation have been taken to heaven. And in chapter 7, this great multitude was taken to heaven. And it do you good to read it, because what they don't have. I'm sorry. There are people who are Christians today who don't fully dedicate their life to God, but yet they're going to be in heaven. They have received Christ as their Savior. But, oh, how wonderful it is to really let the Lord govern our life and be all in all to us. And so this great multitude in verse 6, I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters and the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. You know, it's going to be a wonderful time in heaven, and there won't be anybody, you know, that's there crying and weeping. It'll all be joyous in heaven. Everyone will be happy. There was an old song when I was a child. You know, my folks, dad was a preacher, and I always listened to the Stamps Quartet on big black records, you know. One of the songs they sang says, everybody will be happy over there, everybody will be happy over there. I remember that from the time I was very small. And when we get to heaven, there will be different groups of people there representing the Lord in different manners, but there won't be crying in heaven. There won't be any distress. You know, everyone will be working in their position, representing their position. They'll be all there together. And so he says, notice she's there saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord omnipotent reigneth. And I think that you know what omnipotent means, but this is what it means in case you don't. It means all powerful. It means almighty and supreme. So, you know, mankind, the ones who don't really believe in God, they think they're almighty and supreme, don't they? They look out in space to see if they can find some kind of little weird things out there that might be greater than us. But we know who's greater than us, don't we? Yes. We know that God is the almighty God, the omnipotent. Oh, praise the Lord that we know that. And so they continue to speak in verse 7. Now, this is we call them the second rank or the great innumerable company. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Back in the book of Matthew, I remember Jesus talking about the wise virgins and the foolish virgins, chapter 25 of Matthew. And they aren't the bride of Christ. They are Israel, actually. And he gave that parable that some were ready and some were not. So there are different groups in heaven. But this group, they are considered from, you know, the text and the way it reads it, they are servants in heaven. So if you can think of a great big wedding that's happening in the natural, we've had a few, haven't we? And the things that go on, there are those who prepare, those who carry food. They do different things, you know. Well, in heaven, there'll be many different people. There'll be Old Testament. There'll be 144,000 Jews. There will be this group of people, this great multitude. And then there will be the bride of Christ. And let's look at that verse again. Let us be glad and rejoice. I wrote a little note in my Bible. I don't know where I got it, but I'm going to share it with you. I wrote, forget all your sorrow. See, the tribulation has happened, not quite over here at this, because the Lord's going to come back and judge the Antichrist. But it's not a time to be unhappy or thinking about earth. When we get there to that place, we're not going to be worried about anything on earth at all. We're going to be so happy, so extremely happy, that we're going to just say, you know, like this group, oh, don't even talk about it. Let's just rejoice and be glad. Isn't that going to be a wonderful time? Oh, praise the Lord. I feel it so much in my heart and my spirit that his coming is so near. It's even at the door, as the scripture says. Notice the marriage of the Lamb is come. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. We'll talk about making yourself ready. It isn't up to you to make yourself ready. I don't think some people understand that, you know. Our part is to let him do the work in our life that he wants to work. Walk with God, yield to God, not in self-effort, not like, no, I'm not going to say those words again. You know, I'm not going to do that again. No. And all of us have a fleshly nature, so we do make mistakes. There's not one of us here that hadn't made mistakes. Okay? So, but as we learn to walk with God and yield to God, we learn to walk in the Spirit and yield to the Holy Spirit, yield to the Word of God working in our lives. And so, praise the Lord, this wife, this bride, she is a group of people who really surrender their lives to God right here. And you can be in that group. This has been going on for almost 2,000 years since Apostle Paul was here and taught this word. Can you imagine how many people might be in that group? What does it mean when it says the innumerable company? That's a lot of people that have believed in Jesus Christ as their Savior. But then you look at this group that's going to make up the bride of Christ in heaven. There's been people that have walked with God and yielded to God and given their all to him from the very beginning of this church age, right? Over to not, I added it up, it lacked about a few years, being 2000. But anyway, it's very near 2000. Okay, so she's made herself ready. Now, I know when I got married, I had to plan for that, and I had to get ready for it. In the natural, see, we do that kind of thing, don't we? We get us a dress, or we, as the bride, we get our things all, you know, lined up, everything the way it's supposed to be. Well, this is the time right now that we live in to get ready. We can't wait till the trumpet sounds and then say, oh, I'm going to be ready. See, right now, God is dealing with our hearts to really yield our lives to Christ and walk with him and let him work in us. He is the Lord. To be the Lord means he's the authority. He's the great I am. He's the one that speaks to our lives and wants us to be in this group of people that he will honor so highly. Okay. And so the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready. That makes it sounds like, okay, it's all up to me. I got to do it. I don't know if I can, you know. Well, I'll tell you a little secret. You can't. The thing is to yield to God. See, let Him do the work in our lives. Let Him speak the words that comfort us and give us power and strength. Enter in with the things of the Lord, and we're going to be ready. All right. And to her was granted, praise the Lord. He has some things He's going to grant to this. I'm going to read to you first, though, of scriptures that the Lord gave me when I was studying this. This is Ephesians 3, 8 through 20, 18 through 20. You don't have to turn. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. That's what this is speaking about. Being in this company that are going to be sitting on the throne beside the Lord Jesus Christ as the Queen in heaven. Psalm 45, in case you haven't read it lately, read it. Talks about the Queen. Praise the Lord. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to His power that worketh in you. I just love these little phrases, that we're going to, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God, that God is going to do it through His power that works in us. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. The ages are going to tell the worship of the people of God in heaven, worshiping and worshiping Him because of all that He has done. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. God's part is to work in our lives, right? Everybody agree to that? And our part, what is our part then? Our part is to say yes. Do it, Lord, even when it hurts sometimes. Many of us have lost our spouses. We know that. We know what that feeling is to not have that person anymore in our life, you know. But praise the Lord, God works in all of that. He gives us strength. He gives us grace. He gives us mercy and ability to be in this company of believers that are going to rule and reign with Christ. So to her in verse 8 was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen. And I loved that because I studied that one time about the linen. And the fine linen, in the Amplified, it says it signifies the righteous acts of the saints, the godly character of the believers. So not every believer in Christ really lets the Lord work in their life, where the attributes that come out of us actually show Christ, show the life of Christ. But see, that's what the Holy Spirit is here for. That's why He was given to this age. And one of the reasons, and praise the Lord, He is preparing us. Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God which works in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure." I hope everybody can get this in their mind. You know, the world, many people think that to please God, okay, you've got to do this, and you've got to do that, and you've got to do this, and you've got to do this, and you've got to do all these things. Well, the first thing is to get saved, to believe the Lord Jesus is our Savior. But next, it's just to let Him do the work. When He calls, He talks to us, He says, do this for me, do this for me, forgive that person. You know, all of these things that we know His voice, and we want to be led by the shepherd. For it is God which works in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Verse 15 says, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Boy, is the world getting dark. The United States has got many, many problems. These murders, these robberies that are happening constantly in the big other, we hope it's all away from here somewhere. But it will. The flesh is the flesh. People will do the same things anywhere, won't they? Oh, thank God. praise the Lord for his merciful kindness to us to bring us to this. Now notice those words in verse 8. To her was granted. Huh, granted? Somebody had to grant it to her? Do you know what that word means in the Greek? It means morally. It's a moral type of opinion. Blameless and consecrated. Pardon me, granted. I'm giving you the wrong meaning. Let me look at the next line. Granted means something that is given or permitted or favored. So for her to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, these are extra special garments that God and the Lord Jesus Christ have granted us to wear. Isn't that neat? I think every bride likes to pick out her own dress. So in a way, we do pick out whether we want to be in this group or not, don't we? It's a choice that we make to follow the Lord, yield to him, let him do his work, let him guide our life. And so the word saints there, it means physically pure, morally and blameless and consecrated is what the word, what I was giving you before. So the bride is in her wedding garment. And I told you a while ago, but I've got it written in my margin again to tell you again. Psalm 45, if you would read that, especially verses 9 through 15, it talks about the bride sitting on the throne. Praise the Lord. So in verse 9, let's read that. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Praise the Lord. So there will be a bride and groom. There will be Old Testament people there that have believed in God and trusting in God. There'll be a second rank, which we saw them, the great multitude that we're talking in verse 7 and 8. And these represent the righteousness of the saints. The righteousness of the saints is the life of Christ inside of us. Because we have Jesus in us, that's the only reason that we're counted righteous in God, in the things of God, because he has given us Christ in our lives. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So in verse 9, there will be a bride and groom. And as I've said, I don't want to go over that again. Where it says, blessed, I think all of us understand what that means. This is a prolonged form, which means to be supremely well off. You know, I could say, well, God bless you. I may not mean it in this way that this is meant. This is meant to really speak of how supremely well off the believers can be in heaven by being in this group of believers that are called the bride of the Lamb. Notice it says you're called into the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, as I was studying this again, I'm thinking, okay, in two verses, the Lord is on the white throne and we're going back to the earth, he and his followers, certain ones. And so I'm thinking, well, when did the marriage supper happen here? But I believe in verse 7 and 8, where that bride is presented. Isn't that true in a natural wedding? A lot of times a groom will be standing up here and the best man, and suddenly here comes someone ushering the bride in. Then the service begins. And as I read this time, I believe that that is true. I think that it's showing off her wedding garment. It's showing off what she has been granted and arrayed in. And it's speaking of the marriage supper. The marriage supper usually takes place after the wedding, right? And so he's saying, here's the marriage supper now. Do you want to go to that? Praise the Lord. Well, I don't want to just be a person at the marriage supper. The privilege of being in this group that are called the Bride of Christ is offered to each of us, each one of us. Praise the Lord. And you know, it isn't left up to us. It isn't left up to, now I'm going to be a really good person. I'm going to really, really, you know, boy, I'm not going to say any bad words or anything because I want to. It's not me. It is not you. It is the Holy Spirit working in you, working in your life. Our part is let him do it. Let him do it. Oh, we get in the way, don't we? And I'm not just saying you. We all get in the way of what God wants to do a lot of times. Praise the Lord. And notice in verse 10 what John does, the writer of this book, that he was seeing all these visions. I fell at his feet to worship him. And I said unto him, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God for the testimony of Jesus and the Spirit. So John falls down. He thinks this being that's telling them this is the Lord, and he's going to just fall down to him and worship him. And that fellow servant there speaks up and says, no, he says, this is the testimony of Jesus that I'm presenting to you. Worship God for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Praise the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? And you know what? I didn't get very far. And I didn't get very far last week either. But I think that the Holy Spirit has spoken to us more. And next week, Lord willing, if we're still here, we'll begin with verse 11. We have clear up to 21 verses in this chapter. And we're going to see the Lord Jesus Christ riding down on his white horse from heaven. And with him, notice, with him in verse 14, the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Now, who did we just read about a moment ago that was dressed in fine linen, clean and white? In verse 8, the bride of Christ. So when Jesus rides down on his horse, it's going to be a real horse? I don't know. God can do anything. But, you know, he's coming down in power. We call this power and great glory. He's going to come down and he's going to smite the Antichrist. This is at that, the great battle of Armageddon is going to be going on down there. Just north of Jerusalem in the valley of Megiddo. Look that up on your map. And Jesus is going to come from heaven. And who's going to have with him? He's going to have these dear ones that have the crowns on their heads that we see there, the overcoming Christians who are the bride of Christ. That's kind of an odd honeymoon, isn't it? Go down and fight a big battle. Some bride and groom just get home and there's a big battle. I have a sense of humor. I don't mean to offend any of you. But anyway, praise the Lord. This is going to be exciting to read and study again, how that the heaven is just going to be open and Jesus on his white horse is going to ride down with his wonderful bride and believers following along with him on their white horses. And praise the Lord. They're the ones that are clothed in fine linen. I got a little bit of an education on that when I was reading a book about the pharaohs and the queens in Egypt, how that they never wore anything that was not fine linen. And it was so treated so nicely that it was just like silk. But the poor people out there that they were slaves, a lot of them, they had garments that had all of that stuff. You've seen linen. My mom had tea towels like that. There's little pieces of brown stuff all in that linen. It was linen, but it wasn't fine linen. And so there is a difference, isn't there? Here, this group of people that make up this group are dressed in fine linen, clean and white. Praise the Lord. Well, I got four more pages of notes, so we'll do them another time.